What's up, Ramley? You are now in the kitchen with Chef Nixon for all your fixings for the latest and greatest of VCU men's basketball. So, yesterday, VCU hosted the St. Joseph Hawks. How'd it go? Let's get into it. All right. So, St. Joseph's, they entered this game coming off a bounce-back win over George Washington. And before we go any further, how about George Washington? They really found a way to stink it up. They're like at the bottom of the conference now after getting off to that hot start, beating VCU, and now they just look bad. Anyway, back to St. Joseph. St. Joseph has a record of 17-10. They're 7-7 in the conference. And is a team that this preseason I projected them to be a low-key dangerous team in the A-10. In a way, I was right. St. Joseph's found a way to beat quality teams. They beat UMass, we failed to do. Beat St. Bonaventure, we failed to do. And also beat ranked number 18 Villanova. But somehow they fumbled the ball when they're playing the top teams in the A-10. Lost to Dayton, lost to Richmond, stuff like that. Now, St. Joe's is a top three offensive team in the A-10, and they're led by Eric Reynolds. Eric Reynolds is a junior this year. He's been killing it since he got into the A-10 as a freshman. His scoring has dropped a little bit, but he's still their most impact player, averaging 17 points per game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He'll probably be the A-10 first team player this year. But St. Joseph has 4 other players that are averaging double digits in scoring, so they have multiple players that could have a night and be the leading scorer. But the problem with St. Joe's is, outside of their scoring and being dangerous offensively, they have shown to be completely average in every other aspect of basketball. Everywhere you look, they're just in the middle of the pack. And it's kind of disappointing because when you see a team like that and you see the potential they have, they're not lacking in size, not lacking in athleticism. So the only thing I can think of is a lack of unselfishness to give your all for what's needed for the team. And that can be more destructive than having one cancer. So will they be hot enough to burn the Rams and give the Rams their second consecutive loss? I don't know. So let's hop on over to VCU. VCU is attempting to get back on the right track and avoid dropping 2 in a row after being completely demolished by UMass. They went up to UMass and from the start, it just wasn't their night. Offensively, they struggled. Defensively, they struggled. Rebounding, they struggled. Turn the ball over, they struggled. And I think all that was predicated and seen when they played St. Louis, a low-quality team they struggled with. And when they played the same way against a high-quality team, it came back to bite them in the you-know-what. However, VCU still has a record of 17-9. They're 10-4 in 10-9-4 in the conference. And they're currently ranked number 4th in the A-10. Now, VCU has one of the toughest schedules remaining of the top teams in the A-10. But I believe their motto is one step at a time. VCU's last 2 outings, have been, for lack of a better word, lackluster, underwhelming, resulting in a 1-1 record. But now they're playing another quality team. Not any team like St. Louis, who's currently at the bottom of the A-10. How will they fare? Will VCU be able to get back to the style of play that led them to having so much success? Can they play their brand of basketball, stifling defense, three-point shooting? And St. Joseph will test that, and we would have to see exactly what they had to offer. Now, to start out this game, it looked as if they learned nothing. It was as if they learned nothing. Offense was still very sloppy, very stagnant. Just forcing shots. I mean, Max tried to force up at least two step backs. They were blocked. Just no spacing. Just no, all the timing of the offense was just off. It looked very, very, very bad. And then on top of that, I thought they had a little bit more energy defensively. But when you look at the play in that first half, it was quite... disoriented, I will say. I felt like St. Louis did a really good job of pushing the pace. That was one of the keys for Coach Odom in this game, were to really emphasize getting back on defense and stopping the ball, because St. Joe's likes to get the ball and push the pace to score early. And when you're playing a team like VCU or Dayton or the University of Henrico, top three teams defensively, Loyola Chicago, you want to get a rebound and you want to push it and try to score early before their defense can truly get set. That's the best way to attack a defense or a very talented, stifling defense. And I think St. Joe's did a really good job of that early on, whether that meant getting to the free throw line or just getting some early penetration for kickouts. I think VCU initially struggled. I mean, they got down by 10, but they were able to bounce back in the first half. Now, I want to say that it was all VCU that got them back into the game. But to be honest, it wasn't. St. Joe's trying to be aggressive in transition led to them taking ill-advised shots, missing shots they usually could make, like bunnies. And then on top of that, VCU's defense wasn't as potent as usual. I thought they gave up a lot of open looks. Sometimes St. Joe's would have success in driving the ball, kicking it to wide open shots, and they just couldn't convert. And if you're playing certain teams, that would really lead to them having a big lead. So I think this first half was really VCU trying to find themselves and trying to get back on the right track. St. Joe's gave them a good scare, which kind of gave them a little jolt to really get back in the swing of things. However, VCU fought and ended up, you know, having to have only be a 6-point deficit to St. Joe's. But just as it was 6-point, it could have easily been 15. It could have easily been 15. Eric Reynolds, their leading scorer, had 2 points in the first half. Two. And he missed some wide open threes. And so did some of the other guys. They missed wide open threes, layups. The big man, I can't remember his name. What's the big man's name? Now I got to find it. The big man who gave us, he really gave us a hard time. And I think it's because we're just a little too light in the tail when it comes down to it. But he gave us a hard time because he was just such a big fella. But he missed a ton. He missed some free throws that really could have gave St. Joe's a big boost. What was his name? Chris Escandoco, 7 foot, 285 pounds. He's a load. But he didn't do any favors. He took a lot of threes. He took two threes in the first half. I'm not sure if he can shoot it or not, but he took two threes. You're 7 foot, 285 pounds. Get down on the block. VCU had no answer for him. And just stuff like that really got away from St. Joe's, which allowed VCU to climb back in the game. I don't really think VCU did too much out of the ordinary to climb back in this game. It was more so St. Joe's not, and this is where I can tell they're mediocre in every other way outside of scoring. Because this is a game that they should have established a 12 to 15 point lead in the first half, and being that they allow VCU to keep it in the single digits is indicative of their record and indicative how they're not going to be one of the teams that threaten to win the conference tournament, because I don't think they have the trust in one another or the basketball intelligence to know what to look for. They're just a bunch of guys out there trying to get theirs, and I don't mean it like they won't pass the ball, because they did pass the ball, but it's just like the basketball knowledge of, okay, VCU doesn't have an answer for Christ, whatever his name is. Play through him on the block. We'll get our stuff. Once we loosen them up on the inside, we'll have more time to shoot the three, and they really got away from that, and they allowed VCU to get back in it. It is what it is. I'm not going to complain, but it is what it is. And with that, you know, VCU, guess what happened? VCU actually played Wheeler two games in a row. And again, he gave positive minutes. It wasn't anything crazy. Nor do I expect anything crazy from him. He's doing what he needs to do to get on the court, and that's do exactly what the coach wants him to. Box out, rebound, run the floor, play defense, and he did that very well. Shout out to Wheeler. I'm glad that you finally found your way out of the doghouse. Keep working so you can get more minutes, okay? Cool. But yeah, we just had so many turnovers. We had so many lackadaisical offensive possessions. And we were fortunate to go into the half only down 6. Now, VCU has shown to be a second half team. And the St. Joe's game was no different. And if you know me, you know my motto when it comes to the second half. Say it with me. Win the first 4 minutes. And I think VCU did a really good job of going out there with some energy, going out there with some attention to detail, some urgency, and they were able to really turn the tide and really erase that 6-point deficit and get their first lead at the 14-minute mark in the first half. And that was like with 18:05 to go in the second. So they were able to turn around really, really, really quickly. And I think Zeb Jackson did a really good job. And we'll talk more about Zeb later, but I think Zeb did a really good job of showing leadership throughout this game. And he made a lot of impact plays. But when you start talking about this game, it almost felt as if VCU should have been up by like 15. It almost felt as if VCU was a far superior team than St. Joe's. It really felt as if there's a big gap between these teams. Even though their records are almost relatively close, it felt like there was a big gap between these teams. There's no way that it should be a close game with these teams. However, this is my issue with VCU. This is my issue. They refuse to put their foot on someone's neck. They just refuse to do it. They refuse to do it. I mean, refuse. It's not like when you're playing a team like St. Joseph, it's not like you have to go out there and make plays every single play. It's not like that. All you have to do is do your job. Guys were doing their job, and we created a 10-point lead. When guys didn't do their job, you allowed them to get back. I mean, just unforced turnovers. Ill-advised shots. defensive breakdowns where it's just all about communication. Eric Reynolds had 2 points in the first half. He finished with 21. And if you go back and watch, majority of his stuff was just catch and shoot threes because we did not do what we needed to do. It wasn't like he came down and boom, 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 hit you with a move and it was like, oh, shoot. You got to live with the result of that. No, it's just like we're not communicating. You didn't step up. You blew the assignment. You were supposed to hedge higher. You were supposed to be in drop. That's your scramble, not my scramble. Like, just stuff like that. And it allowed St. Joseph to get back into the game to the point where Joe Bamisil had to hit a big shot just to make it a double two-possession game down the stretch when we had a comfortable 10-point. Like, this is a game we should have – homecoming, first off. This should have been a game where we cruised. The last 6 minutes should have been a cruise to the finish line. A cruise. Because we played the right way. You know what I mean? I want to see Connor. I want to see Connor get in the game. This was supposed to be a game that we could, like, the last minute or two, Connor's supposed to be in that game. And the fact that we didn't put our foot on their neck and put them out of our misery like UMass did to us, it bothers me. It bothers me because we haven't learned from St. Bonaventure when we went up there. St. Bonaventure, we're up 20, and we end up losing because we refuse to do what we need to do consistently throughout 40 minutes to really put some of these teams away. Now, I understand when you're playing, you're in a dogfight, that's different. But when you're up 20, when you find yourself, when you start playing your brand of basketball and you find yourself up 10 points with 10 minutes left, put the team away. They were ready to go if you just play your brand of basketball, and we refuse to do that. And we just refuse to lock in. We lock in for a little bit. Okay, we got the lead. Let's relax. Woo. We can't do that. We can't do that. That's a bad habit. And when you play better teams, that bad habit is going to come back and kick you in the ass. Like, thank goodness for Joe Bamisil and his big – he had a huge second half. He had 16 points on the game. 16 of them were in the second half. And a big shot down the stretch. You know what I mean? Like, we have to get better with that. We have to get better with that. We have to get better with that. If we don't, it's gonna be our downfall. I'm calling it. I'm telling you. But anyway, not to rain on the parade. VCU was able to pull out the victory, 73-69, improving their record to 18-9. St. Joe's was led by Eric Reynolds. He had 21 points, 4 rebounds. In his sidekick, Xavier Brown had 21.6 rebounds and 3 assists. Xavier Brown wasn't missing whatsoever. He was really playing extremely well. He carried them in the first half. VCU was led by Toby LaWall, 16 points, 10 rebounds. I think Toby brought a lot of energy. Of course, he did a rebound thing, but he was dunking, blocking shots, running the floor, playing extremely hard defensively. He had his hands full, being outweighed by like 60 pounds with a dude, but he's still down there fighting. You know, Toby's a walking highlight no matter what he does. Now, I would love to see Toby. This is just me. I would love to see Toby, like, put a little bit more. Like, it's amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like I'm tripping right here. But Toby LaWall, his regular dunks are amazing because how high he jumps. But if he just to put like a, or just a little mini, boom, he would get deals off that. NIL deals off that. Toby, hello. Holla at me, dog. I'll get you straight. I'm telling you. You ain't got to do nothing crazy, but just a heem instead of just a hmm, but just a heem. And next thing you know, you know what? This is a conversation for me and Toby. I'm never gonna put it on here. But he did his thing. Joe Bamisil, again, I just said it, 16 points, all 16 in the second half, 7 rebounds. Thank goodness for him. He hit a lot of tough shots. The thing about Joe is, you know, he's going to take and make tough shots, and he's going to miss some too, and you just got to live with it because he can put up 16 points and a half. So, shout out to Joe. Now, my low-key player of the game is Zeb Jackson. If you go back and watch that game, look at all the facets of the game that Zeb had his impact on. Steals, points, rebounds, block shots. And then the nuance is just like hockey assists, just making the right play. Even defensively, being in the right place on help side to clog the paint. When our man was beat. Simple stuff like that. Zeb was so crucial to this victory, even though he only finished with 6 points, four assists and 5 rebounds. Like, so this is what I'm saying. I like stats too. Eric Reynolds had 21 points and 4 rebounds. Zeb Jackson played better than him that game. Zeb Jackson played better. The Eric Reynolds, who had 21 points and 4 rebounds. Zeb Jackson was more impactful than someone who put up 21 points in the game. He had 6 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Stats are not everything. They are not. There's something to be said about stats. Don't get me wrong. But VCU doesn't win that game without that 6 points, 4 assists, and 5 rebounds. They don't. In Zeb Jackson's play. It just don't work. Shout out to Zeb. Seriously. Now, moving forward. VCU will host the 11-16 Rhode Island Rams. This Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Pack the Stew. Speaking of Pat the Stew was sold out, and it was exciting to see it like that again. It was beautiful to see that light again. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for that, and I'm happy for the guys to get to experience that, and hopefully we can continue to do that for the rest of the season. It would just be wonderful. So let's do it again Wednesday. I know it's going to be hard. People got to work. You know what I'm saying? But it's at 6:30, so you should be able to get there and get home at a good time. Don't make an excuse. Pat the Stew. So VCU will host 11-16 Rhode Island Rams. Rhode Island isn't the same since they had Lil Bow Wow, Lil Mama. If you don't know who that is, look up Lil Bow Wow and see who he looks like. The younger Lil Bow Wow. They aren't who they were of yesteryear. They fell in off the record, and their play shows it. Rhode Island is led by Jaden House, who's averaging 14 points, basically 15 points per game, 3 rebounds, and David Green, who's averaging 14 points per game and 4 rebounds. This is a game that I expect VCU to use to build up their confidence and work on the kinks in the armor. To get back to where they need to be to contend and compete with the top 3 teams in the A-10. These last 3 games, St. Joe's, UMass, and St. Louis, have all been mediocre games to the standard that I believe VCU can play to. And they still have a hell of a schedule coming up. And they're going to have to find a way to fix those things in order to be successful in the backstretch of this season. And, of course, you always got to respect your opponent. I'm not saying that Rhode Island is lunch meat. But if they play their best and we play their best, we should win by 15. So I'm looking forward to this game. And hopefully the guys can get back on track and play the brand of basketball that we have become accustomed to seeing from them, so we can really see this team start to ascend again as they as they close out the rest of the regular season. All right? And that's all I got for y'all, man. Much love. Yeah, pack the stew, man. Shoot, pack the stew. Until next time, never quit. Stay humble. Peace.